All right, everybody has their Bibles? That's good. Or your phone, I don't know. Could be in your phone too. Yeah, could be on your iPad. But we will never stop encouraging you to invest in a physical Bible. Have a Bible. Have the Word of God. So, this morning, I want to take this time to finish what we've been talking about. Anybody can anybody remind me what we've been talking about? Passion. Passion. Have you lost your passion? How is your passion? By the way, how was Pastor John last week? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hey, thanks for hosting him, taking him in. It was good. I had a really good time with the dwelling place up in Charlottesville. That was really good. Like-minded people. It's like when you get together with like-minded people, kingdom-minded people, it's like, oh, just right at home. You know, so. Why is passion important in our relationship with Jesus and our relationship with others? You know, and talking about others, we could put that in the perspective of marriage, like I've been talking about. A couple weeks ago, you know, I mentioned, I use what? Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we submit to the authority of the Bible. We believe every word that is in this book is God's breath and is teachable. Useful to teach us, to rebuke us, to equip us for every good work. So right now, Lord, as I take this time to share your word, Holy Spirit, I pray that you take this, what I prepare, and reveal it to our hearts and get us ready for your return. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Why is passion so important in our relationship with Jesus? If you remember your lesson, the answer is pretty easy, especially from Revelation chapter 2. Passion is important in our relationship with Jesus because if we don't have passion, if Jesus doesn't have our passion, something else has it. If you're not passionate about, whatever you're passionate about, that's what you put your time. Now, let me, for those of you who are just listening to this, I'm springboard taking off from Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. If Jesus doesn't have your first love, something else does. Or someone else does. It's just like if you're married. If your wife or your spouse, your husband, doesn't have your first love, somebody else, something else does. When we study Revelation chapter 2, we find out that the Greek word, the Hebrew word that translated go back to your first love is what? Protos agape, which means put God first. And one of the questions we talked about, is God first in your life? What does it mean to put God first in your life? I'm sure you've thought about this before. But just think about it for a couple seconds. What does it mean for me to put God first in my life? Think about that. Ricardo, what does it mean to put God first? What are some of the things that are first in your life? Something that's first in your life is a priority. Is God first in my life? Should God be first in my life? Those are some valid questions. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, it is sin to take your love for him and give it to something else. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1 to 5. It says, I know your works. I know your deeds. I know, just like what we've done, we talk about, I know everything you do in this church, you do it for the advancement of the kingdom. I know you give your money. I know you give your time. I know you try your best. I know you do not even tolerate sinners. You call sin, sin. You call good, good. You call evil, evil. Jesus said that. But he said, I have this one complaint. You don't love me anymore, nor you don't love each other. You know, we were talking about some people. I spoke to a lady yesterday. She said she doesn't do church. I said, that's good. You don't know what you're missing. Really, guys, think about it. Is church good? Okay, now let's remove the word church. Is covenant with God good? Now, because I am in covenant with God, and then you are in covenant with God, then we are in covenant with each other, right? That's why Jesus, I mean, there's a story in the Bible. One time Jesus was meeting with his disciples, and someone came and says, hey, Jesus, your mother, your brother, and sisters are out there. They're asking for you. And Jesus looked at the disciples. He said, well, who is my brother? Who is my sister? And he looked at the disciples and says, anyone who does the will, this is it. Anyone who does the will of the Father is my brother, is my sister, is my father. That's why in the kingdom, when we become a new creation, we become family. The covenant I have, when we talk about membership, we're trying to kind of, in our network, among us, the pastors, we're trying to change the wording because some people, they're afraid of membership. But when you think about it, I think I preached that one time. Everything else out there wants you to become a member, right? Because there are privileges. You save 5% for becoming a member. I mean, I tell you, I'm a member of Sam's Club, member of 7-Eleven, member of Shell. I'm a member everywhere. Because why? I need discount. I'm a member of Amazon, Walmart, everywhere. Sign me up. What is it? 5 cents, 10 cents? I want to save money, right? That's where they get you. It's very profitable to be a member of the body of Christ. But what does that mean? That means we are in covenant with each other. You know? He says, I have this complaint against you. You stop loving each other. And once again, if the world see our loves, if the world see the way we care for one another, when you're hurting, I'm hurting. When you're happy, I'm happy. When life is going good for you, it's going good for me, right? Think about it from a natural perspective for those of us with children. When our children are hurting, what do? Oh, man, you hurt. They have knee pain, but you have back, you have a headache. You can't sleep. I mean, the thing is, you think, when I was younger, I thought, man, once my kids leave the house, oh, hallelujah, it's me and my wife. Woo, yes. And then they grew up and they live. They're like, man, you start worrying. They start driving and then you start worrying. Right? Being a parent, that's a lifetime responsibility. That's a lot. I tell you, man, no, people should really get trained before they have children. They should know what they're getting themselves into. Because that's a lifetime commitment. That's a lifetime, not a burden, but it's a lifetime weight on your shoulder you carry, because you always worry. You know, whether you're like 45 and, you know, 50 and you see your mama still checking on you, it's normal. She's not nosy. That's the worst thing to say to your parents. Leave me alone. You can't say that. They cannot leave you alone. You know, now I'm not talking about the possessive parents. No. You need to let them fly out of the nest and trust the Lord. That's why it's very important to instruct the child according to the way they should go. You see, people grew up in church, but they never had an encounter. That's why our philosophy here, I make it a goal to make sure Heidi, as she's growing, Alyssa, as they're growing to be young women, they're growing in the Lord. Because if you grow in the Lord, when you grow up, you can't depart from it. Well, go in the world and try. And you start eating pig's food. You start going, you will come back. That's the promise the word gives. That's why I love having the children in our worship. Whenever we have kids, I say you give this your attention. I mean, this time of this sharing the word, you take it to heart. So protos, don't forget that word. It means to go back to your first love. Go back to how you love Jesus. Have you been feeling disconnected with the presence? You know, next week, Friday, I'm calling the church for a 24-hour fast. Now, you can fast food. You can fast telephone. You can fast something. Now, remember, when you fast, you're not fasting to get closer to God. Mm-mm. You're fasting, whatever you do doesn't bring you closer to God. God doesn't act upon our, oh, Lord, you see, I'm hungry. No, God doesn't act like that. You do it by, it's not religion. You know, that's why a lot of people, they think they should dress a certain way to attract God. No, nothing you can do beside except believing in the Son's, in His Son's name, believing in the sacrifice on the cross. That's it. You can't pray a certain way. You cannot. But such discipline is good for your soul. You know, so I'm calling you, 1 hour, 2 hour, what, however. But Friday night to Saturday morning, Saturday evening, you make that a priority to just set time apart to seek the Lord as a congregation. See, as from a pastoral perspective, if I'm focusing on people, I will lose my passion. There's a great statistic out there. I mean, I read it again this week. Between 4,000 to 7,000 pastors are leaving the ministry. And the reason why, it's not because it's not just because they're not making enough money. It's not just because a couple of years, recent years, there's a guy, young pastor, he just killed himself. The burden is real. You know, the worst thing, if somebody would ask me, so what's the worst thing you could experience as a pastor? You know, a pastor according to God's heart, a guy who is like me, I want Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I want to do things like Jesus. I want to do church like Jesus. So I want to love people like Jesus. So when I love, I really love them. But there's nothing like loving somebody, being there for them, and then for them to judge you or misjudge what you said, you know. Once again, communication. In relationship, if I say something, I do something you don't like, you don't go and talk to somebody else. You come to me. You say, well, pastor, this is what I sense. This is what you said. This is how you act. You know, and when you did this, it made me feel like that. You know, so you confronted me. That's the kingdom way. That's not the church way. You know what we do? You get hurt by someone, by person A, you go to person B, C, and all the way to Z. And you cause strife in the church. And then that create an atmosphere of hypocrisy. And then, of course, good-minded people, strong-minded people, they say, well, they don't want this. They don't want this. They don't want to be part of this gossip soup. Am I making sense? So if I am focusing on people, I will lose my passion. If I am focusing on the response of the church, I will lose my passion. You know, from a worship leader perspective, I've been leading worship for years, and I've led worship with two people. I've led worship with 5,000 people. I've led worship in the sanctuaries, many years by myself unto the Lord. So the focus is never the people. The focus is to minister to the presence of the Lord. If I can do it in an empty sanctuary, guess what? It doesn't matter if 20 people are here. And it doesn't matter if people are responding. Are you with me? So therefore, you do not live your Christian life by focusing on others. Mm-mm. take your eyes off people, because people have a great chance to fail you. Paul said it. He said to Timothy, you follow my example. As long as you see your leaders following Christ's example, you follow them. But then if they branch off from the truth, from following Jesus, don't let them cause you to go astray. I mean, I've heard and I have experienced people who left the church because their pastor sinned. Jesus died for your salvation. Yes, your leaders, your pastor must be an example in your life. They must be. But if it's some, for some reason they failed the office, keep following Jesus. Don't get discouraged. Passion is what keeps drawing us back to Jesus. That's why passion is important in any relationship. Passion, your passion, I mean, especially in the context of a marriage or a friendship. It doesn't have to be marriage. When you are passionate, you know, sometimes we can think about passion from the negative standpoint. Passion is very good in a relationship. Because when I like you, you like me, then we want to spend time together. But if you like me at 20% and I like you at 70%, guess what's going to happen? Your interest is lower. So I'm going to be like always going after you. And then you're going to find me annoying. And then guess what? You're going to need your space. So you're moving. You're moving away and I'm running after you. That's why in any giving relationship, any healthy relationship, both parties need to be giving 100%. Not 50-50. Once again, I go back to what I've said here many times. I'm committed to you, 100%. Are you committed to me, 100%? Oh, I want to know that. That's why we talk about covenant, membership. You're my family. I'm here for you all the time. Your birthday is my birthday. It's my party. When you're mourning, your birthday, when you have a birthday party, that's my party too, you know? When you go through a tough time, I'm going through a tough time. What a mindset. And I believe that's what, when the Holy Spirit birthed the church, that's what he intended it to be. Without passion, there is no magnet in the relationship. Without passion, there is no magnet. Passion, that's what keeps drawing you back. You know, if the passion you have for Jesus, it is the passion. If the passion you have for Jesus dies, then you're going to lose all interest. And once again, I'm going to go back to what I said last week. When you keep your passion alive for Jesus, the chance of getting burned out is very slim. Because your focus is not people. Your focus, I mean, you can't even trust your own feelings. Right? Marriage. How many times you've been married in your marriage for 20, 40, whatever age you are? How many times you didn't like each other? But did you go and quit? How many times the passion wasn't there? But that's what the world does. Man, I remember that car I bought brand new, man, this thing sitting in the garage. I cleaned the wheels. I mean, it's like bird poop. No. You know, there's no bird poop on the car. You don't want that. And then a couple years goes by, right? The passion you had for that new car, rightly so. Pay high money for it. After a number of years, what happened? Really don't care anymore. Why? The passion is diminished. It goes with everything, even in our relationship with Jesus. If we're not aware to work, do our best to keep our passion alive, you will lose interest. So, it is your passion for Jesus that keeps you from coming back to Jesus. It is your passion for Jesus that keeps you from coming, that keeps you to come back. No, not keeps. That's a wrong word. That's not what I want to say. It is your passion for Jesus that caused you to come back. Caused you to come back to the Word. Oh, I'm passionate about the Word. Something we used to do in our family. And it's been a while since we've done it. I mean, we do it every Thursday. We try to make it a priority with our busy schedule. We make Thursday afternoon to eat together. A priority. We sit around the table. I go home. Alyssa comes back to school. And Ryan, his schedule allows it. And we sit around the table and we talk. So how's your day? So this is a time for, I tell you, I would counsel you to do that. If you live in a family, as much as possible, have one day. We are so busy. Read the Word. Kendra and I, we used to do this. We are passionate about the Bible. We read the Word together this week. It was awesome. We spent a week together. But every day, we can't do it every day, you know, with the business of life. But make it a priority when you come together, either once a week, whatever, you know. Don't put it in a box, you know. But read the Word together as a family. I'm passionate about the Word. So therefore, my passion for the Word keep causing me to come back to the Word. I think about the Word. I wake up in the morning, I'm thinking, the Word. You know, give MSNBC a little time, a break. Turn it on later. Open the Bible. Because sometimes the first thing we do, we turn on the news. Wake up, turn on the news. Coffee, wake up, turn on the news. But yeah, do your coffee, get the Bible. Go sit around for 20 minutes. Turn your light on and read. Meditate on the Lord, on the Word of the Lord. That will rekindle your passions for the things of God. So it is your passion, the passion you have for Jesus, will have you come back to the Word. The passion we have for His church, the passion we have for His presence will keep drawing us. Oh, that's the word I was looking for. Drawing us. Drawing us. The passion I have for my wife keeps drawing me to her. The passion I have for my family keeps drawing me to them. See, when people lose passion for people, they want to go away, right? When we lose our passion for Jesus, we are at a very dangerous place. Because the world is very strong at drawing us to it. The world is very strong at drawing us. Man, what a fight for my soul. The world, Satan is fighting for my soul. I mean, why is it so hard to want to do good? Even Paul is like, man, I want to do good. But sometimes I find out the good I want to do, I end up doing bad. Oh, Lord, save me from this physical body. And then it goes on to chapter 8. It says, for therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Is there anything you're more passionate about than Christ? If so, it will take your time. When you're passionate about something or someone, it works because you love it. Give me a guitar, I tell you, I'll play for 5 hours. And you know the crazy thing is, my fingers don't even hurt anymore. Because I play so much. Guys, I play when you don't see me. Sometimes I set my speaker in my garage and I play for an hour. You're like, man, this guy is very crazy. I just play. You know what? That's my passion. So if playing guitar is not your passion, don't try it. You'll get burned out very quick. You're like, man, somebody told me, he's like, man, I have a guitar. I saw you play. I really want to pick that guitar up. I said, you should. But you'll know if they'll make it or not. Discipline. But what they're saying here, when you're passionate about something, it's not work. Because I'm passionate about the gathering of the saints, it's never work. Oh, I'll come together every chance I get. And I tell people, it's not because I'm a pastor. This is, ask Kendra, this is how I was. Oh, you go ask, you call ask PK when I was a church member in Restoration. I was not a leader. I was doing two jobs. I was doing plumbing and I was delivering pizza. I needed money. I was just like, I'm going to work. And I had three kids under 10 years old. I was still very devoted in the worship team. Sometimes, yeah, I get there. I'm tired. Physically, I'm tired. But I love Jesus, man. I'm like, this body is going down somehow, someday. But my spirit, man, you know what? I'm going after Jesus. For the things you are passionate about, there's never an excuse. Never. So don't allow your body or your mind to give you excuse to do the things of God. You make whatever you're passionate about a priority. Whatever you are passionate about, it's a priority. When you're passionate about something, it's that natural thing that you do. It doesn't take discipline. It's just like reading the Bible, I'm passionate about it. It shouldn't be a chore. It shouldn't be a chore. Serving Jesus, following Jesus shouldn't be a chore. Because you make it your passion. And there's a warning there. Jesus says, if you don't go back to the first thing you've done at first, I will come back and I'll remove your lampstand. I will remove my favor. He says, I will take the lilo you have and I'll give it to someone else. Oh man, Lord, don't do this to me. You remember the story in the Bible? You want to keep your passion alive. Now, the principle, I want to touch on the principle of lasting passion. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, 24. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth, where moth eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust cannot destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will also be. Your eyes are a lamp that provides light to your body. When your eyes are good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eyes are bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted. The word here that translated be devoted, translated devoted, is the same word that translated passion. It says, you will be passionate more about one than the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. That's right. That's exactly right. We cannot be devoted to two things at once. And it doesn't matter if you're women and you multitask it. Because they said the ladies, they can run many programs at the time, all right? Me, I can only run one program. Okay, I'm running this program, that's why, right? Mark Gunger said, ladies, when you talk to the guy, make sure you got his attention. Make sure he's looking at you. Because, you know, right, sometimes some of you girls are like that too. You can only run one program at a time. You know, one program. You're doing this in the kitchen, and Johnny's back here and telling you all this. You hear Johnny's voice, but you're not really registering anything. And you think Johnny heard you. And you said, I told you so. And Johnny says he never heard it. The reason why is because Johnny can only run one program at a time. You cannot love two masters the same way. You cannot love God and love the world at the same time. Wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. The word treasure from the Greek is thesaurus. It means treasure chest. It means wherever you are depositing the treasure from your cardia. That's the way we find the word cardio, right? Heart. Cardiac arrest. Cardiac something, whatever. The doctors, you would know those terms better, right? That's it's from the Greek, right? Wherever your heart is, that's wherever your cardia is, that's where you put your treasure. Guys, take this message to heart, this teaching to heart. Wherever you are investing the best of your life, your passion will be there. When we wake up in the morning, we go to work. And we work from 10 hours, 12 hours, 8 hours, however we work. So at the end of the day, you pooped. And then you run in here, I run in there, and then by the end of the day, you have nothing left. Same thing in our family's life. If I'm leaving the leftover for my children, I'm leaving the leftover for my spouse, guess what? I have nothing much to give them. But then I can still go to work and still do the things I must do that draws all my attention. But then I, knowing this, I make it a priority to invest in those things that are priority to me. Anybody here with me? You don't just reap what you sow. You reap where you sow. Oh, yeah, you reap what you sow. Yes. But guess what? You also reap where you sow. You know? You reap where you sow. You never, what they say, financially, you never throw good money after bad money. I hope we all understand or find help to understand where is bad money. So don't invest bad money into good money. I mean, good money into bad money. Certain relationship, you can't get anything out of it. You just leave it where it's at. If your work's getting the best of you, you are going to be more passionate about it. Whatever you do that's getting the best of you will become your passion. There's no mystery. Whatever you do that takes the best of you will become your passion. And Jesus is calling us. Listen to what it says in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7-15. It says, do not love this world, nor the things of this world has to offer. Oh, hang on, Jesus. Come on, Lord. We're still in the world right there. Yeah, well, don't argue with the word. This is what it says. It says, do not love. According to Matthew chapter 6, it says, this is what it means. It doesn't mean not to work, not to, you know, get a degree, you know, make money. That's not what it's saying. It's saying, don't let the world become your passion. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the love offers only the craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, the pride in our achievements and possession. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave. Wow. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Now, I love the Passion Translation, and I brought it here. I don't think it's going to be on the screen, but this is what it says. It's a warning. I like this word. I like this word. Because a warning, every day we live by warning, right? Alarm. Your alarm clock, right? We have alarm. Your alarm clock is a warning. It tells you you have this appointment to be ready. That's what this verse means. It says, don't set the affection of your heart on this world. Wow. Or in loving the things of this world. Use the things of this world. The love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible. 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 The love of the world and the love of Father. I mean, guys, this is not my word. This is the Bible. Use the things of this world. Do whatever you got to do. Don't let what you got to do steal you away from the love of God. That's what it's saying here. Be passionate about your work, but make sure you keep passion for Jesus. The top of the list. Oh my goodness, this is so good. It says the love of the Father and the love of the world are incompatible, for all that the world can offer us is what? Gratification of our flesh, the allurement of the things of the world, and the obsession with status and importance. Everybody wants to be important. I mean, yeah, when you think about it, you all are so important. That's why when you get your identity in Jesus, you'll understand who you are. Man, guys, you are awesome. You were created awesome. You don't have to compare yourself with anybody. It doesn't matter if you work so hard, you can make it, especially in America. If you work so hard, you don't have to be poor. Now, I've been in countries where people have no opportunities. They were born poor, their mom were poor, and it's like they're still poor. Their kids are poor. Why? There is no opportunity. But I look here in America still today, even with the 9% interest of inflation, if anybody is willing to work hard, you can make it. So nobody have to compare themselves to anybody. You see, this person has this car. Guess what? You can work so hard for it. I'll put it on credit. Because that's the system. The system gets you tied up in credit. And you buried with all so much stuff. You have your garage, your storage room renting with stuff. And then you buried. You can't even breathe. Why? I tell you, that's a demonic system. The American dream wasn't meant to bury you and kill you. It was meant for you to live a life pursuit of happiness. But having all this stuff, are you really happy? A simple life. Having more than enough. Having more enough for you so you can give others. But the enemy uses it. It's twisted. We have a lot of stuff. When I say we, it's general speaking. Generally speaking, people have a lot of stuff, but they're not blessed. Why? They can't sleep at night. The average credit card debt right now is $27,000. Now, we're not talking about emergencies, but we're talking about people who just want. Thanksgiving's coming. Christmas is coming. It's crazy. It's all about the want, get more. Give me greed, greed. Give me. I want this. I finally get it, man. I mean, I thank God for giving me the opportunity to have enough fun to buy new vehicles. But especially here in Virginia, man, I would buy like a 20-year-old vehicle. Because it's like you pay tax for the lifetime of the car. You pay for the car. I'm not against tax. But I don't get it if... Yeah, I don't want to say that. That's my personal conviction right there. What I was going to say, that's my personal conviction. I took it back. I don't want to say it. All right, let's go back to the Bible. We can talk that offline. But do you hear my heart? Passion for Jesus. That's why we pray for the world. We pray for our friends. And I pray for you. I pray that you live as wise people. I pray that you have your priorities straight. I pray you do not compare yourself with others and you put your priorities. You know, people in the... I tell you, it's good to go camping. It's good to go explore the world. But don't let that take you away from God. Don't let that take you away from the fellowship. Don't love the world's way. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeeze out love for the Father. The same verse. I'm reading different version. The Passion. Wanting anything. It says practically everything that goes into the world. Want it your own way. Want it everything. See, now when you come in the kingdom, it can't be your own way anymore. I tell you, if you want to follow Jesus, it can't be about you. It's not about me. I tell you, if it would be about me, I'd tell you exactly where I'd want to be. Now, I'm not saying in Haiti. It's not about your dream. I'm talking about spiritual calling, God's calling in your life. Sometimes if it would be about me, I'd tell you who I would kill. Kill him. Kill. Dead. 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 I'd have my revenge if it was about me. It's not about me. It's about the will of the Father. It's about surrendering to God. It's about surrendering to his word. That's what it's about. We can spend countless hours in the presence of the Lord. But until we obey the word, I tell you, you'll be miserable spiritually. Until you obey the word. Have peace with everybody. Jesus is coming back. Seek righteousness. Have peace. Now listen to this. I'm going to finish, right? I said, we? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to finish, okay? What do you do if your passion is fading away? First thing, repent. Revelation chapter 3, chapter 2, verse 5. Repent, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first, or else I will come and quickly remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Brothers and sisters, my beloved, oh, I love you guys. Repent if the Lord's speaking to you and there are areas in your life that you know that must be changed. Repent. Repent. Have peace with everybody. Have peace with everybody. As much as it depends on you, have peace with everybody. Seek holiness. Number two. Pursue Jesus. Oh, I like this. I like this. It says, never cease pursuing. The verb pursue. I kind of love grammar a little bit. Pursues, pursuing, pursued. It means go after. Run after. Run after it. Go after it. Run after it, man. Pursue it. Go after righteousness. Go after holiness. And I had one of our pastors in Haiti call me the other day. He's like, yeah, man, do you have a minute? I said, sure. I said, well, he said, what's up? He said, man, I got this woman in my church. This woman, I don't remember where, but he said, this woman, she just wants me. I said, so, are you even talking to her? So she knows you're a pastor. She knows you're married. And you telling me you're talking, that's good. You're seeking help. You're seeking counsel. But dude, a person like that, you run away from her. First of all, you go tell your wife. Second of all, you tell her, I'll tell the church. You want to sleep with me? You know I'm married. I'll tell the church to help me because you're an agent directly from hell. Because a person like that, they come to destroy the work of the ministry in the church. Are you with me? There are certain, it says run away, but pursue holiness. Anything in your life, pursue holiness. Young men, young lady, wherever you are, pursue holiness. Run after it. Chase after it. Give chance to it. Hunt. I told you. I'm changing. I begin to think about hunting. So then I've been talking to different people. But then there's one guy. He kind of blew my bubble. He blew my bubble. I said, yeah, man, I'm really thinking about going hunting and stuff. But, man, I can't wait to kill a deer. Why? Because, man, you know, imagine how much meat I'm going to have. Oh, he says, oh, Ricardo, if you're going for the meat, you won't survive. I never thought about that. He said, you see, everybody that goes hunting, they love the feeling that go after a deer, but it doesn't matter if they get it. And right away, I'm thinking, sitting on a tree stand for like 4 hours and get nothing. You know the disappointment? Yes. But at the same time, he brought me to a level to think about something I've never thought before. And then I begin to change my perspective. Because I really want to try it. But I'm like, okay, now maybe I'll like it, maybe I won't like it. You know, because it's not meant for everybody. But I'm going to try it. It says hunt. Pursue is hunt. Hunt righteousness. hunt justice, hunt for peace, hunt for holiness, hunt for the presence of the Lord. So anyone, any like our church, when we say the presence, come for prayer, you go after that. You come for that. You befriend people who are after Jesus. Because you become people you hang out with. Strive for, push toward, work toward. I just love the English dictionary sometimes because it gives you so many words. But the antonym means avoid. The antonym of pursuit is avoid. Flee from. See, when you lose your passion, you flee from the things of God. When people lose their passion for Jesus, the first thing they do, they cut relationship with the church. When people don't want to be challenged to grow spiritually, they cut their relationship. They stop coming. They stop answering your phone calls. They're avoiding you. If you're smart enough, you know that they're avoiding you. So, what do you do when your passion is fading? First thing, repent. Second thing, pursue. Never stop pursuing Jesus. Faith before feelings. Listen to what it says. It says, a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Luke chapter 4, chapter 6, verse 43. A good fruit cannot produce bad fruit, nor a bad tree can produce good fruit. A tree is identified by its fruit. Now, please, sometimes remove your feelings out of serving Christ. Even the worship, worship leader perspective. Sometimes, man, the worship you can feel, yes, oh, man, everybody's, yes. But other times, you feel like, oh, man, the people weren't connected. Now, I'm being very vulnerable. Me and Dan, we know what we're talking about, right? But then that's the worst place for us to go. Because I don't know your heart. Are you with me? That's why I said I don't focus on people. Because if we would focus on people, we would lose our passion. We would be like, oh, God didn't work. God didn't do anything. It says a good fruit, faith before feelings. Don't serve God by according to your feelings or the way people react or respond. I give altar calls all the time, but barely somebody comes up. But that doesn't mean God's not working in your heart. Okay? So when you don't come up, guess what? It's between you and the Lord. If you come up, it's still between you and the Lord. But I'm giving you the opportunity to do what you must do. Do love's first action. What's love's first action? But I have this thing against you. Once again, Revelation chapter 2, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Home groups. Man, I don't know. I'll never stop talking about home groups. We are a cell-based church. Why? Because you cannot do life by yourself. Find time to be involved in a home group. Or to, you know, or group. When I say a group, it could be once a month, once every other month. Get connected. God bless you guys. Score a goal for me, okay, Heidi? And then I'm going to finish with this. It says, pursue. The way of the wicked is abomination to the Lord. But he loves one who pursues righteousness. Proverbs 15:9. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. 1 Timothy 6:11. Flee from these things, you men of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Now flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 19. He who is steadfast in righteousness will attain to life. And he who pursues evil will bring about his own death. Proverbs 12. In the way, 12:28, in the way of righteousness, in the way of righteousness is life. And in its pathway there is no death. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. So then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up for one another. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. For the one who desires life, to love and to see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Now I'm talking about if you want to rekindle your passion, the word is telling you, pursue all these things. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Psalm 34:14. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one can see the Lord. And lastly, do not be discouraged. Nowadays, there's a wind of discouragement going around. If you feel discouraged, this is a time to be surrounded by the believer, by the group, by the body of believers. Don't do life by yourself. You know? That's why there are, you know, I mean, there are some people in our midst right now, they're going through mourning. We need to surround them. We need to, you know, they're part of home groups, but we need to be intentional. Because when you know, in your by yourself mode, that's when the enemy can really bombard, explode your mind with discouragement. Amen? Now, if you have ears to hear, may you hear. I want to give you 5 minutes to respond. Alyssa, come play for me. You know, do you need to repent? Do you need to make changes in your walk with the Lord? If you do, I'll give you time. I'm going to make myself available to pray for anybody who needs prayer right now. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, we submit to you. I submit to you these seeds that were planted. And I pray, Father, that these seeds find